Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards.
Welcome. So happy to have you here today. I'm Maria Finch, and I am really happy to have Joyfully Cricket here with me today. Cricket, welcome.
Thank you, Maria. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So please introduce yourself.
Thank you so much. I am Joyfully Cricket. My friends just call me Cricket. And my purpose and mission in life is to uplift and empower people so that they can express their own unique gifts, which will create a harmonious world that works for everyone. And I do this through spiritual coaching and inspirational music.
That's awesome. What a wonderful purpose to have.
I think so. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us a bit about your journey to this point. Like what was going on in your life and what got you kicked onto this particular path?
I like how you phrase that. What kicked me onto this particular path? Because I did feel kicked, as I think many of us have experienced.
Yes.
But I consider my real first spiritual awakening and the beginning of my transformation journey began when I was 20. Okay. And my husband passed away of a drug overdose.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. It was tragic and awful, as you can imagine.
Yes.
And at the same time, it was absolutely the catalyst for me choosing joy in my life and realizing that I had a choice of how I responded to life circumstances. And I remember the day that he passed, I saw a choice in front of me. And the first one was a life of, you know, drug use, depression, pretty much throwing my life in the can because I had a great excuse to do so. But up until his death, you know, we were in a toxic relationship. I was fairly depressed and using drugs and just not empowered at all. Very disempowered and at the, you know, I was a victim to circumstance.
Yeah.
So the day he died, I was really tired of just being sad. Oh. And I saw his death as an opportunity for me to make my life positive because he didn't have a chance to do so.
Wow.
So I began seeking after that. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a switch was flipped and I was, you know, feeling joyful, but it was like this beacon of hope that I had as my purpose. And so I really worked on healing myself, trying to feel all the feelings that I was going through with grief. And as part of that healing process, I started songwriting a lot. I've always been a musician my whole life. And I really just threw myself and my grief and what I was experiencing into these really heavy songs that kind of unconsciously, I didn't realize what I was doing, but I was really processing my grief in that way. And I just had this insatiable appetite for personal growth and spirituality. I was reading all the self-help books I could. I discovered Byron Katie and the Spiritual Center and women's spiritual retreats. And I just discovered that I had this passion for spiritual growth and personal development. And that eventually led to me putting down the sad love songs and writing music informed by my transformation journey. So I started writing inspirational music.
Wow.
I realized that, you know, we become what we put our attention on. We create what we focus on. And so why not focus my music on something that would uplift me and my listeners?
Yeah.
So that journey led to me discovering life coaching and realizing that I didn't have to just sing about people following their dreams. I could actually give them the tools to do so. And then that experience of life coaching led to me discovering that I could intentionally write musical mantras for myself and my clients that would help to rewire their mind chatter to be something more positive and uplifting that would really have a tangible effect on their self-talk and the energy that they're putting out in the world and therefore getting the results that they want to create.
Wow, that, I mean, that's all amazing. Like your progression there is really incredible. So going backwards, what was the kind of mind cluck that you experienced, and what were the steps you took to silence it when, you know, when you were in the depths of grief, or as you were trying to move through that and getting onto your personal development journey? Did you use particular exercises, and what was that experience like for you?
So after my husband passed, a lot of people assumed that I was ridden with guilt, that I blamed myself. And I didn't experience that. The real grace that I experienced was knowing that this was his path. And there's nothing I could have done to change it. And that, you know, my purpose was to go on and live something different.
Can I ask you something about that? So for someone else who might be in a similar position, what was it, a deep inner knowing, or how did you figure that out?
It was a deep inner knowing. I'll give you some backstory on my spiritual journey. I was raised atheist. Mm-hmm. When I met my husband in high school, he was a Christian and facilitated opening my heart to believing in a higher power. Okay. So I believed in Christianity for a few years there. But about the time he passed, I had realized it wasn't really a good fit for me, but I still believed in something at this point, you know, so Christianity wasn't it, but it was like, okay, I do believe in a higher power.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really practicing it. I wasn't seeking it. So the grace I experienced was really this reaffirmation of faith that there was something greater than myself. So I would say it was really a faith and an inner knowing that he was in a better place. I was, you know, meant to transform my life as a result. But I would say the real healing came from sitting with my emotions in my creative process of songwriting.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us more about that. So I'd love to hear one of these musical mantras, but kind of walk us through, like, how do you do that? What's your process for all of that?
So with healing, with the grieving process, it was a different process than my musical mantras, because my musical mantras are totally informed by what I know through coaching and thought work and belief systems.
Got it.
I was completely on default, unconscious when I was songwriting through my grief.
Yeah.
But what I know now is that the way to process emotions and integrate them so we can really expand into the next version of ourselves is to sit with them, allow them, and let them work through us.
Yes.
And unconsciously, I did that with songwriting, because I was sitting writing songs. I was putting into words and crafting these lyrics around what I was experiencing and our relationship that had failed and all the things I would tell his family if I could, and everything I was going through. And I was sobbing as I was singing these beautifully tragic songs. And as songwriters do, we play our songs over and over and over again. And so I wasn't writing these songs just for myself, although your listeners, if they want to use their creative process to heal something, they might do it just for themselves. I think that's a really important part of the creative process, is to not create with the purpose of sharing it or, you know, to monetize it, but just to create for the sake of creating.
Yes.
But as a performer and songwriter, I really felt like, oh, these are beautiful songs. I want to share them. And just sitting with the emotions and letting myself feel everything. And when I did that, you know, like I said, I was sobbing as I was writing them, but the more I played them, the more they just became a part of me. And it was something I could look at without feeling the trauma of it. And I think that's where the healing took place.
That makes a lot of sense. Did you have anybody guiding you, or you just figured all of this out on your own?
I just did it on my own. You know, songwriting is something that I've done since I was a small child. Before I could play an instrument, I would write little melodies and little songs. And when I got my first guitar at 16, after my first guitar lesson, I went home and wrote a song with the chord progression they taught me. So songwriting is something that is just a part of who I am. And so I had written songs prior, you know, to my husband passing, but having that fuel of my grief, it was like, you know, the dam had broken and this creative energy just flowed through me. And so nobody was guiding me other than the passion that I had for music and songwriting. And all of a sudden I had all of this creative juice that was just forcing through me. I will say, on a spiritual level, my husband was also a musician. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was part of that creative force.
Oh, yeah.
Assisting that would... me, because he was also a songwriter.
Right. That would make sense. As you were going through this process, did your mind challenge you in all of this and say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? Or take you to thoughts that weren't helping you process through this grief?
Yeah, I think so. There was, I think as any creative, we have self-criticism. And because this was such a, you know, this didn't just affect me.
Yeah.
You know, I was his wife, but he had this family that was experiencing his death in a completely different way than I was. Because I had this fresh start. I had this new mindset that I didn't feel was respectful to share with them at the time.
That makes
Even
sense.
Sharing this story, I've only started doing in the last year or so. Publicly, because of respect for his family. So in the songwriting process, there were parts where I wanted to censor myself because I thought if someone else heard this, if his family heard this, or someone else who didn't understand, they might think that I'm insensitive. They might not understand this. Yeah, I think insensitivity and disrespect was a real concern of mine. So I definitely had that going on, just the self-critic telling me that, you know, this isn't right, or, you know, you shouldn't be happy. You should be more sad. You should feel guilty, those sorts of things.
And what did you do to silence that?
I think there was a level of censoring myself. Like I said, not sharing this story so publicly until recently. But I think I just, my focus was really the music. And there's a way that you can kind of separate yourself in a creative act versus in a conversation with someone. And so I think I was able to use the art to kind of craft it in a way that felt like it kind of appeased my inner critic, but also was true to myself and what I needed to express.
And did you share what you were doing with your own friends and your own family? Or what was your support network as you were kind of having this transformation? And how did they play into what you were doing?
So I definitely, so I was living with his family at the time he passed. So I definitely did share the songs with them as I was writing them.
You did?
Yes. And I remember playing before I moved back home, because I was living in another state from where I grew up in. I remember playing a concert with all these songs I had written. And so his family was very supportive. It's interesting to look back at that now because I'm not sure what they thought. You know, they were supportive. You know, they loved me and we had great love for each other and still do. And so I never heard from them, you know, you shouldn't be singing this. But when I moved back home, I ended up becoming really close with my sister and I moved in with her and she became my living room audience. And so I would, I would write these new songs and I would, and I would play them in the living room for her. So she was one of my greatest supporters. And that's when I started, you know, I had performed quite a bit, but not as a solo musician with a guitar. You know, I'd been in musical theater and sung in a cappella groups and done open mics and stuff, but I hadn't really performed my own original music with a guitar on stage by myself. So that's when I started getting out and doing that. And my sister was my greatest cheerleader.
Oh, that's so nice. And so what made you go from being focused on, you know, the songs that were processing your grief to starting to transform them into, you know, things about personal development? Like, did you notice when that started to shift, or was it very subtle? How did that come about?
I'm absolutely aware of how that happened, because I had this story that I told myself that I only write songs when I'm depressed. That happy songs are cheesy.
Okay. Interesting.
And so, yeah, as a result, I as I started to heal from my grief and really became a more joyful person, mm-hmm. and a healthy, you know, emotionally intelligent person, I stopped writing. Because I thought that I only wrote when I was depressed. And I also had a misconstrued view of my creative process, which was that, you know, it wasn't something I could be intentional about. It happened in a flash. It was very sparse and few and far between that I was writing songs the years following my husband's death. So initially he died, and I just had this like slew of songs that I wrote, probably 10 or 12 songs. Uh-huh. And then it became just like a trickle, you know, over the years. And so it was about 10 years until I got really passionate about the work of Abraham Hicks and the Law of Attraction. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to my first Abraham Hicks seminar, and I finally received, you know, what I had heard hundreds of times before, but finally received, I can write happy songs if I want to. They cannot be cheesy, and I can manifest songwriting for myself. And I went home and I wrote my first inspirational song. And then a whole other slew of songs came out that were informed from my personal growth journey and the spiritual tools that I was living and loving. And that became my first album, which is called The Calling.
Wow, that's so fascinating. So tell us, how do you use music now?
Yes. So I started writing musical mantras for myself, again, from an Abraham Hicks quote that was, you know, you should be saying, life is always working out for me. And so I just sang myself a little jingle, everything is working out for me. Everything is working out for me. And I'd sing it on the way to work in the morning. I'd do my little spiritual, my meditation in the morning, my gratitude practice. And I would sing that song. And I was just like, by the time I walked into work, I was just like vibrating so high and so, you know, happy and feeling great. And that just became this, almost like this influence or inspiration for what I could attain with music, or what was possible with music. And so I would write these little songs for myself. And it wasn't until I really started learning about the way our thoughts create our feelings, which create the actions and results that we get in our lives, that I realized what those songs really were doing on a really cellular level of our bodies, and how they could be used for transformation and manifestation. And so just in the past year, I started again, believing that I could create, that my creative process was accessible at all times, because that was a growing edge for myself, to step into the belief that I could write a song for someone personally on demand.
Oh, great. That's great.
I had a lot of story and disbelief that that was possible. And so that was something that I fantasized about for a while. Like, wouldn't it be cool to, when I first discovered coaching, I thought, oh, it'd be so cool to merge my music with coaching, but I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I thought for a while, like, oh, it'd be so cool to like somehow write songs for clients. Oh, but I can't do that. That's too much pressure. And in the last year or so, I just started playing with it. And, you know, lo and behold, one client, I was like, we were working on a belief system she wanted to adopt for herself. And she happened to say, yeah, that's so great. That's a new belief I need to believe. But how am I going to remember it in the moment? And I said, I'm going to write you a song and you can sing the song. And what happens with these mantras is that, like any jingle, they're accessible. They get stuck in your head. Instead of just speaking an affirmation on repeat that might not have any emotion involved with it, or that you have to really kind of dig deep to get that emotion to resonate, songs kind of by design are infused with emotion.
Yeah.
And so when you have a song that you can sing as you get ready in the morning, as you're doing the dishes throughout your day, you can even use it in your spiritual practice as a way to raise your vibration and uplift yourself as you're moving through your day. They become so accessible that they end up happening without your even needing to be deliberate about it. And it makes the process really fun. And it literally is rewriting your brain to change the belief systems that you have so you can create everything that you desire in your life.
That's amazing. So I want to get back to one thing that you've mentioned a couple times is when you've changed your story, the story you tell yourself, how are you doing that? Are you doing that? Like, are you really paying attention and making a conscious effort, or what's that process for you?
I think it's becoming aware, because at first it's unconscious, right? It's just running us, that story's running me, and I don't really know what's happening. And then at some point I become aware. I think the first step is becoming aware that something's not working. So I might not even have the awareness of what the story is, but I'm aware that there's something that's not working the way I want it to.
Right.
And then comes the awareness of the story. And the story is really is the belief system, which really beliefs are just thoughts that we keep thinking. Yeah. So at the very essence of it, it's a thought.
Right.
It's the thought that I only write when I'm depressed. It's the thought that I can't, that happy songs are cheesy. I can't write a happy song. It's the thought that songs just come to me. I can't write deliberately. So a way that your listeners can really track these thoughts that they're having is a process of a thought download. Or a brain dump, if you've heard of these. And that's putting your thoughts on paper so you can slow down your brain and look at it.
Yes.
And so what I could have done if I was doing this, if I was taking myself through this in a in my coaching process, I would have taken the topic or the circumstance of my songwriting. So with the first awareness that something's not quite working the way that I would like for it to. So I would take that, I'd write that at the top of the page, and then I'd set a timer for myself. So I had a continuous flow of writing, and then I would write every thought that came into my head. So that's where I could see, I don't believe, you know, happy songs are cheesy. I am only write when I'm depressed. That's where those would all show up, because those are the thoughts, the unconscious thoughts that I'm thinking about my songwriting. And then from there you can decide, is this true?
That's so important, because so often our thoughts are not true.
Yes. In my experience, very, very much of the time. And so then you can really start to intentionally look at each thought, analyze if it's true, and then decide what you would like to believe instead, or what might you believe is actually more true. And that's where through that process, I take my clients through a series of questions. And then from all of that information, I write them a musical mantra that they can use in their own process to help rewire that. Because it's not something that happens. Sometimes it happens instantaneously. Sometimes all we need is the awareness, and then we can change it. But if they're really hardwired, then it takes some practice and finding some evidence for it, and really teaching yourself to believe in something that's more empowering.
Yeah, I think the practice part of that is so key. And one of the things that I love about the idea of music is, like, you practice music. So this is another practice that you do, because rewiring your brain, like you said, sometimes it can be quick, but sometimes it takes practice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So can you share a singing mantra with us?
Yes, I'd love to.
Okay.
So this one, the other thing that I love is that we all have the same crappy thoughts rolling around in our heads.
Sure. So yeah, I think that's so true.
What's so cool about this is that I wrote this song for a client specific to the belief she wanted to believe for herself. She had forgotten her power of manifestation. She knew all the spiritual tools, but she had a moment of lapse where she didn't believe in herself. And she had this mantra. When I asked her, what would you like to believe instead? She knew instantly.
Oh yeah.
And so this, you know, I ended up tweaking it and adding some of my own stuff based on the conversation that we had. But this resonates with me. This resonates with all my other clients and all my other listeners. I sing this song in spiritual centers. And, you know, the more that we heal ourselves, the more we heal others. And yes. So that's what I love about this work is that I might write this chant or affirmation. I sometimes call them affirmation chants. I might write a musical mantra for one person, but it benefits all of us and we can all enjoy them and use
them.
Yeah.
So that makes so much sense.
Yeah. So this one's called I Am a Magnet. I am a magnet. I attract love, peace, and abundance. I am a magnet. I attract love, peace, and abundance. I trust my gifts. Follow my soul. Here and now. Here and now. I am a magnet. I attract love, peace, and abundance. I am a magnet. I attract love, peace, and abundance. I trust my gifts. Follow my soul. Here and now. Here and now. I am a magnet. I attract love, peace, and abundance. I am a magnet. I attract love, peace, and abundance. I am.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That was so beautiful. I love it. And I like was trying to memorize it as you're singing.
Right?
Yeah. What? I mean, everyone started out their day like with that and then just like kept it flowing throughout the day. I mean, that can shift any bad moment. You're like, oh, nope, I feel triggered, but nope, go right back to that. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, it's super empowering.
Yeah.
Because it is easy to live on default and to fall to a victim to our circumstances and just our thoughts that aren't serving us.
Right.
But the more that we can empower ourselves with words, it's as simple as that. It's words that we tell ourselves to help us remember how powerful we are, to remember that we are worthy, to remember that we're abundant and there's always enough. Like these are things that we all struggle with. And the more that we can practice thinking them, we can really transform our lives.
Yeah. Wow. That is so beautiful. So I think that's a perfect place for us to start to wrap up. Is there anything? So for our audience, if you're watching this on video, I've been showing a ticker that shows how to contact Cricut. And for our listeners, that will be in the show notes. Is there any last thing that you'd like to tell our audience today, Cricut?
Yes. Well, I'd love to share. If you go to my Instagram page, Joyful Purpose Coaching on Instagram, you'll find in the highlights reel a musical mantra file. And you can check that out, Maria. You can find this one on there and all the other mantras that I've written for myself and my clients and continue to write. So you have access to those so you can start singing those for yourself.
Beautiful.
And anyone who might feel called to have their own personal mantra written for them, I would love to invite you to book a free clarity call, which you'll find on my website, joyfulpurposecoaching.com. And I think there's a link there on the video. And in that call, we'll discover what it is that's calling to be, you know, what is calling in you to emerge so you can live your joyful purpose and discover if working together is a good fit. And in my 12-week coaching program, all my clients get their own custom musical mantra, just completely based on what it is that they need to rewrite and rewire in their own brains.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Cricut. And just so glad to have you here and so glad to know you now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, everyone in our audience, thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? A free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.